Numbers chapter 14. All the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. This is when they'd heard the bad report of the 10 spies. And the people wept that night, and all of them murmured against Moses and Aaron. And they said, "Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or that we died in this wilderness. Why does Yahweh bring us to this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will be a prey. Wouldn't it be better for us to return into Egypt?" So Israel, when they were in Egypt, is like us in the world, and they came out of Egypt through the Red Sea, which is like us getting baptized. But then they were always tempted to want to go back to Egypt, and that's, I suppose, what is true with us, that the temptation to go back to the world, to go back to the life of the flesh. They said one to another, "Let's make a captain, let's return into Egypt." Well, when they were in Egypt, they were begging God to get them out of there, because it was an awful situation. So human nature is like that. We like to imagine that the past was better, when actually it was worse, it was awful. We all tend to think the present is pretty bad, yesterday was much better, and tomorrow is going to be awful. Whereas in Christ, it's all so much more positive. That the past was awful, it was Egypt. Now, today is much better, and tomorrow we will live eternally in God's kingdom. Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the congregation. Joshua and Caleb, who were of those who spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation, saying, "The land which we passed through to spy out is an extremely good land. Yahweh delights in us. He will give us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey." So then they basically didn't believe that God loved them. Joshua and Caleb said, "Look, God does love us. God delights in us." And so this is the whole thing. Does God really love me or not? Now, if we say that...
He does.
He does. That's right. Absolutely. We say that God is, that God exists. Well, okay, so there is a God. What sort of God? And quite simply, God is love. God loves us, that's right. And so, he wants to give us the kingdom. Only don't rebel against Yahweh. "Neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is removed from them, and Yahweh is with us. Don't fear them." But all the congregation threatened to stone them with stones. Well, that's what happens when people set their mind on doing something wrong, and if anyone else comes and says, "No, look, this is the better way," like happened with Jeremiah and the prophets, and finally the Lord Jesus, they say, "Well, let's just kill them." The glory of Yahweh appeared in the tent of meeting to all the children of Israel. Yahweh said to Moses, "How long will this people despise me? How long will they not believe in me for all the miracles which I have worked among them?" So then, just seeing miracles won't necessarily make you a believer. That is wrong to assume that. Because they had seen all these miracles, but God says they will not believe in me. "I will strike them with a plague and disinherit them, and will make of you," that's Moses, "a greater and mightier nation." But Moses said to Yahweh, "Then the Egyptians will hear it, for you brought up this people in your might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. They've heard that you, Yahweh, are in the midst of this people, that you are seen face to face, and your cloud stands over them, and you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and in a pillar of fire by night. Now if you killed this people as one man, then the nations who have heard your fame will say, 'Because Yahweh wasn't able to bring this people into the land which he swore to them, therefore he slew them in the wilderness.' Now please let the power of the Lord be great according as you have spoken, saying, 'Yahweh is slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, forgiving iniquity and disobedience, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. Please pardon the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of your grace, and according as you have forgiven this people from Egypt until now.' Yahweh said, 'I have pardoned according to your word, but in very deed as I live, and as all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all these men who have seen my glory and my miracles which I worked in Egypt and have tested me these 10 times and will not listen to my voice, surely they will not see the land which I swore to their fathers. Neither shall any of those who despise me see it, apart from Caleb, because he had another spirit with him." So what you see then is God is saying that he is open to dialogue. He says he's going to destroy them and he's going to make of Moses a great nation. And Moses says, "Oh, don't do that." So God is willing to change. God is like that because he wants us to talk to him. He wants us to get on our knees and change his way at times so that we draw close to him. And that's what happened here. "I have forgiven according to your word," he says. Now, Caleb, we're told, had another spirit with him. And that's what we've got to be like, even amongst those who claim to be Christians or claim to be in the people of God. We have to have a different spirit. In other words, it's how you think in your mind that's important. It says that Caleb followed me faithfully. Well, Caleb means a dog. And so God is saying that Caleb was like a dog who had followed him faithfully into the land. Him will I bring into the land, and his seed will possess it. Tomorrow, God said, "Turn and go into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea." Yahweh spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "How long will I bear with this evil congregation that murmur against me? Tell them, 'As I live, says Yahweh, surely as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you.'" That is, they wanted to go back to Egypt. Right, he says, "Your dead bodies will fall in this wilderness, and all who are numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward. Surely you shall not come into the land, concerning which I swore that I would make you live there, apart from Caleb and Joshua. But your little ones, that you said would be for a prey, them I will bring in, and they shall know the land which you have rejected. As for you, your dead bodies will fall in this wilderness. Your children will be wanderers in the wilderness 40 years, until your dead bodies be consumed in the wilderness. According to the number of the days in which you spied out the land, even 40 days, for every day a year, you will bear your sins, even 40 years, and you will know the altering of my purpose." So then God is able to change his purpose, and that's what he did here. "I, Yahweh, have spoken. This will I do to all this evil congregation who are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they will be consumed, and there they will die. The men whom Moses sent to spy out the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him, even those men who brought up an evil report, they died by the plague before Yahweh. But Joshua remained alive, and Caleb, out of those men who went to spy out the land." The people mourned greatly when they heard this. They rose up in the morning and went up to the top of the mountain, saying, "Behold, we are here. We'll go up into the land which God promised, although we have sinned." Moses said, "Why now do you disobey the commandment of Yahweh? Disobedience will not prosper. Don't go up, for Yahweh is not among you, that you not be struck down before your enemies." But they presumed to go up to the top of the mountain, but the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh and Moses didn't depart out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down and the Canaanites and struck them and beat them down, even to Hormah. So they desperately wanted to be in the kingdom in the end. It's like in the parable of Jesus about the foolish girls who ran out of oil and went to buy when he came back. They come and knock on the door. "Please, please, Lord, Lord, open to us." And he says, "Who are you? I don't know you." So when Jesus comes back, everybody will want one thing, and that is, "I want to be in the kingdom." Nobody will be shrugging their shoulders. Well, that is the trouble, isn't it? Yeah, but when Jesus comes back, everybody will, those who are resurrected, come to the judgment. Everyone will desperately want to be in the kingdom. That will be the only thing. I want to be there. Nothing else will be important. So that's how we should be now. We should want to be anything else and live like that now.
People who believe in Jesus will be in the kingdom, but people not believing in Jesus will be dead forever.
That's right. That's right. They'll be dead forever. They won't get burnt or tortured forever, but they will stay dead forever. And as they see the option before them that, yeah, they could have lived forever, but they won't, you're going to die forever, they will weep and gnash their teeth in anger with themselves. How could I have been so foolish? So we need to make the choice now for the kingdom.